But Narad answered not. Silent he sat, knowing that words are vain and fate is Lord. He looked into the unseen with seeing eyes. Then, dallying with the mortal's ignorance, like one who knows not, questioning, he cried, "On what high mission went her hastening wheels? Whence came she with this glory in her heart and paradise made visible in her eyes? What sudden God has met? What face supreme?" To whom the king? "The red Asoka watched her going forth, which now sees her return. Arisen into an air of flaming dawn, like a bright bird tired of her lonely branch, to find her own Lord, since to her on earth he came not yet, this sweetness wandered forth, cleaving her way with the beat of her rapid wings. Led by a distant call, her vague swift flight threaded the summer morns and sunlit lands. The happy rest her burdened lashes keep, and these charmed guardian lips hold treasured still. Virgin who comest, perfected by joy, reveal the name thy sudden heartbeats learned. Whom hast thou chosen, kingliest among men? And Savitri answered with her still, calm voice, as one who speaks beneath the eyes of fate, "Father and King, I have carried out thy will. One whom I sought I found in distant lands. I have obeyed my heart, I have heard its call. On the borders of a dreaming wilderness, mid Shalwa's giant hills and brooding woods, in his thatched hermitage, Dyumatsena dwells, blind, exiled, outcast, once a mighty king. The son of Dyumatsena, Satyavan, I have met on the wild forest's lonely verge. My father, I have chosen. This is done." Astonished, all sat silent for a space. Then Asvapati looked within and saw a heavy shadow float above the name, chased by a sudden and stupendous light. He looked into his daughter's eyes and spoke, "Well hast thou done, and I approve thy choice. If this is all, then all is surely well. If there is more, then all can still be well. Whether it seem good or evil to men's eyes, only for good the secret will can work. Our destiny is written in double terms. Through nature's contraries, we draw nearer God. Out of the darkness, we still grow to light. Death is our road to immortality. Cry woe, cry woe, the world's lost voices wail. Yet conquers the eternal good at last. Then might the sage have spoken, but the king in haste broke out and stayed the dangerous word. O singer of the ultimate ecstasy, lend not a dangerous vision to the blind, because by native right thou hast seen clear. Impose not on the mortal's tremulous breast the dire ordeal that foreknowledge brings. Demand not now the Godhead in our acts. Here are not happy peaks the heaven nymphs roam, or Kailas, or Vaikuntha's starry stair. Abrupt, jagged hills, only the mighty climb, are here where few dare even think to rise. Far voices call down from the dizzy rocks, chill, slippery, precipitous are the paths. Too hard the gods are with man's fragile race. In their large heavens they dwell, exempt from fate, and they forget the wounded feet of man, his limbs that faint beneath the whips of grief, his heart that hears the tread of time and death. The future's road is hid from mortal sight. He moves towards a veiled and secret face. To light one step in front is all his hope, and only for a little strength he asks to meet the riddle of his shrouded fate. Awaited by a vague and half-seen force, aware of danger to his uncertain hours, he guards his flickering yearnings from her breath. He feels not when the dreadful fingers close around him with the grasp none can elude. If thou canst loose her grip, then only speak. Perhaps from the iron snare there is escape. Our mind perhaps deceives us with its words and gives the name of doom to our own choice. Perhaps the blindness of our will is fate. He said, and Narad answered not the king. But now the queen, alarmed, lifted her voice. O seer, thy bright arrival has been timed to this high moment of a happy life. Then let the speech benign of griefless spheres confirm this blithe conjunction of two stars, and sanction joy with thy celestial voice. Here drag not in the peril of our thoughts. Let not our words create the doom they fear. Here is no cause for dread, no chance for grief to raise her ominous head and stare at love. A single spirit in a multitude. Happy is Satyavan mid earthly men, whom Savitri has chosen for her mate. And fortunate the forest hermitage, where, leaving her palace and riches and a throne, my Savitri will dwell and bring in heaven. Then let thy blessing put the immortal's seal on these bright lives' unstained felicity, pushing the ominous shadow from their days. Too heavy falls a shadow on man's heart. It dares not be too happy upon earth. It dreads the blow dogging two vivid joys, a lash unseen in fate's extended hand. The danger lurking in fortune's proud extremes, an irony in life's indulgent smile, and trembles at the laughter of the gods. Or if crouches unseen a panther doom, if wings of evil brood above that house, then also speak, that we may turn aside and rescue our lives from hazard of wayside doom and chance entanglement of an alien fate. And Narad slowly answered to the queen. What help is in prevision to the driven? Safe doors cry opening near, the doomed pass on. A future knowledge is an added pain, a torturing burden and a fruitless light on the enormous scene that fate has built. The eternal poet, universal mind, has paged each line of his imperial act. Invisible, the giant actors tread, and man lives like some secret player's mask. He knows not even what his lips shall speak, for a mysterious power compels his steps, and life is stronger than his trembling soul. None can refuse what the stark force demands. Her eyes are fixed upon her mighty aim. No cry or prayer can turn her from her path. She has leaped an arrow from the bow of God. His words were theirs, who live unforced to grieve, and help by calm the swaying wheels of life and the long restlessness of transient things and the trouble and passion of the unquiet world. As though her own bosom were pierced, the mother saw the ancient human sentence strike her child. Her sweetness, that deserved another fate, only a larger measure given of tears. Aspiring to the nature of the gods, a mind proof-armored, mailed in mighty thoughts, a will entire, cushioned behind wisdom's shield, though to still heavens of knowledge she had risen, though calm and wise, and Asvapati's queen, human was she still, and opened her doors to grief. The stony-eyed injustice she accused of the marble godhead of inflexible law, nor sought the strength extreme adversity brings to lives that stand erect and front the world power. Her heart appealed against the impartial judge, taxed with perversity, the impersonal one. Her tranquil spirit she called not to her aid, but as a common man beneath his load grows faint and breathes his pain in ignorant words, so now she arraigned the world's impassive will. What stealthy doom has crept across her path, emerging from the dark forest's sullen heart? What evil thing stood smiling by the way and wore the beauty of the Shalwa boy? Perhaps he came an enemy from her past, armed with a hidden force of ancient wrongs, himself unknowing, and seized her unknown. Here, dreadfully entangled, love and hate meet us blind wanderers mid the perils of time. Our days are linked of a disastrous chain. Necessity avenges casual steps. Old cruelties come back unrecognized. The gods make use of our forgotten deeds. Yet all in vain the bitter law was made. Our own minds are the justices of doom. For nothing have we learned, but still repeat our stark misuse of self and others' souls. There are dire alchemies of the human heart, and fallen from his ethereal element, love darkens to the spirit of nether gods. The dreadful angel, angry with his joys, woundingly sweet, he cannot yet forego, is pitiless to the soul his gaze disarmed. He visits with his own pangs his quivering prey, forcing us to cling enamored to his grip, as if in love with our own agony. This is one poignant misery in the world, and grief has other lassos for our life. Our sympathies become our torturers. Strength have I my own punishment to bear, knowing it just. But on this earth perplexed, smitten in the sorrow of scourged and helpless things, often it faints to meet other suffering eyes. We are not as the gods who know not grief and look impassive on a suffering world. Calm, they gaze down on the little human scene and the short-lived passion crossing mortal hearts. An ancient tale of woe can move us still. We keep the ache of breasts that breathe no more. We are shaken by the sight of human pain and share the miseries that others feel. Ours not the passionless lids that cannot age. Too hard for us is heaven's indifference. Our own tragedies are not enough for us. All pathos and all sufferings we make ours. We have sorrow for a greatness passed away, and feel the touch of tears in mortal things. Even a stranger's anguish rends my heart, and this, O Narad, is my well-loved child. Hide not from us our doom, if doom is ours. This is the worst, an unknown face of fate, a terror ominous, mute, felt more than seen, behind our seat by day, our couch by night. A fate lurking in the shadow of our hearts, the anguish of the unseen that waits to strike. to know is best, however hard to bear.